We welcome you to our study of Paul's epistle to the Galatians. We're continuing with chapter 2. Peter had condemned himself by an action at Antioch. Antioch in Syria is where the first missionaries were sent out according to instructions by the Holy Spirit. You'll find that recorded in Acts chapter 13. Now later, Peter, also known as Cephas, came to Antioch, and Paul tells us in verse 11 of Galatians 2 that he opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. And I continue reading verse 12, "For prior to the coming of certain men from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles, but when they came, he began to withdraw and hold himself aloof, fearing the party of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews joined him in hypocrisy, with the result that even Barnabas was carried away by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas in the presence of all, 'If you, being a Jew, live like the Gentiles and not like the Jews, how is it that you compel the Gentiles to live like Jews?'" Well, what had Peter done? He had gone there to Antioch and was freely mixing with both Jewish and Gentile believers in Jesus Christ and eating the foods of both of those kinds of people. He seemed to have no reservations about eating Gentile foods, which were not kosher. But when he saw some of the Jews who had come from Jerusalem, men who had been under the influence of James, who was a leader in the church, Peter suddenly flip-flopped. He feared them. He feared their criticism. And he seemed to be weak, just like he was when, at the crucifixion of Jesus, he denied even knowing him. Well, this, again, was a temporary failure on the part of Peter. But Paul points out that this was hypocrisy. He writes that in verse 13. He said the rest of the Jews there in Antioch joined him in hypocrisy, with the result that even Barnabas was carried away by their hypocrisy. And Barnabas was Paul's companion on that first missionary journey. He was a consoler of men. He could build up people. He was a Bible teacher. And yet he was carried away by this. Well, what's Paul so concerned about? Well, he said they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel when they were insisting that a Jew who had become a Christian could not eat Gentile food. And that implied that Gentiles should not be eating that kind of food either if they were believers in Jesus Christ. And it indicated that they ought to be eating kosher foods. Now, that was very disturbing, because the gospel had nothing to do with what you eat or what you don't eat. Neither does it have anything to do with what you drink or don't drink, or where you go or where you don't go. You see, men have always thought that there was something they could do to add to their righteousness. It is strange, but not surprising, that even after believing in Jesus Christ, men seem to think that they can do something to please God. They've heard the gospel of grace, and they believe in grace, but they lose sight of it. And they think there is something they can give up or something they can do in addition to believing in Jesus Christ that will make God more pleased with them. And here is Peter. Now, he wasn't so concerned about pleasing God as he was pleasing men, because he saw these Jews and he didn't want their criticism. Peter seemed to be the kind of a character who wanted the approval of men, particularly those Jewish brothers who could be pretty mean when they didn't agree with something. And so he caved in, and he wasn't walking straightforward according to the truth. Well, you know the Jews have many laws. In addition to the Old Testament laws, and there are over 600 of those, they had laws that the rabbis had passed on and became a part of the culture. They had so many laws about everything that it would be a burden to count them. They had laws concerning the salting of meat, for example, and some of the laws told how to wash it before soaking it, and how to wash at the incision where you cut the meat, the temperature of the water that you soaked it in, and the number of hours for soaking it. Then there were laws concerning the utensils for soaking. They couldn't be used for soaking any other kinds of foods. They even had a law on how to sprinkle the salt on the meat. And if you drained the meat of its blood on a board, you had to tilt it at a certain angle. Then they had a law requiring how much time was required for the meat to lie with its salt on it. But then they also had a law that said in an emergency, only 24 minutes was required. Oh, they were very specific about everything. Then they said that God-fearing women were the only ones who could supervise this processing of the meat. There were laws concerning the immersion of utensils, and even new utensils must go through a certain ritual. A benediction had to be said before each immersion of those utensils used in cooking. And if utensils were bought from a Jew who had non-Jewish workers, there were special rules for purifying those utensils. I have counted 15 laws concerning bread, cooked food, and the milk that came from a non-Jewish source. Jews were so fearful of being contaminated that they wouldn't eat Gentile bread. And if there were any servants who were not Jews who were baking the bread, there was a rule that said an Israelite must throw a piece of wood into the cooking fire in order for it to qualify. I counted 21 laws regarding washing before meals, 10 laws in regard to breaking of bread and its benediction, 7 laws regarding benedictions before special courses of the meal, and 18 laws concerning the washing of hands at the conclusion of a meal. Well, this can go on and on. Well, the Jews way back there in the first century were very upset about eating anything that didn't follow strict Jewish rules, and Peter had violated that, they thought. Well, Peter caved in to that kind of tradition, and the result was very serious. You see, other Jews followed Peter, and they feared charges of transgressing the law of Moses. But the problem is that Peter and some of these other Jews had no convictions. They weren't standing up for the truth of the gospel. Paul uses the word hypocrisy. In the Revised Standard Version, in verse 13, it says the rest of the Jews acted insincerely. That's hypocrisy. And the result was that Gentile believers were led to believe that more than faith in Christ was needed. Peter was inconsistent. Should Gentiles follow his action and observe Jewish dietary laws? Well, Paul didn't think so, so he rebuked him, and that comes out in verse 14. He said, "But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas before them all, 'If you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you compel the Gentiles to live like Jews?'" The word straightforward comes from that word in the Greek from which we get orthopedics. Peter did not walk a straight course in regard to the truth of the gospel. And that truth of the gospel is the line drawn by God. It's the gospel of grace. Peter wasn't walking that line. Now write this on the walls of your mind. There is a truth of the gospel, and it's the grace gospel, and it means that you are not walking according to that standard if you are adding anything to God's grace. Paul rebuked Peter in public. Should he have done that? Well, one of the early church fathers, Augustine, said, "It is not advantageous to correct in secret an error which injured publicly." And that's what had happened. Peter, by his action there in public, had hurt a lot of people and was misleading them into thinking that they had to adopt Jewish dietary laws. That was totally wrong. When Paul wrote to Timothy in his first epistle, chapter 5, verse 20, he addressed this subject of rebuke. He said, "As for those who persist in sin, rebuke them in the presence of all, so that the rest may stand in fear." Well, there's a lesson to be learned by the correction of someone. And of course, correction can be done in love and should be done in love. Now, we need to love the truth more than loving a person. And if we forsake the truth, then we are not loving God. So there's a place where you have to take your stand for the truth, even though it may be humiliating to a person who has wandered from the truth. And if he is a real believer, he'll thank you for that. Because a real believer wants the truth more than his own reputation. Now at Antioch, everyone was carried away by the hypocrisy of Peter. Paul was left alone to defend the believer's freedom from the law. And one additional truth, it's this. A man can do nothing to increase his righteousness before God. Peter implied that it was possible to do something to increase one's righteousness after believing in Jesus Christ. Now consider this. I will never be any more righteous than I was in 1938 after believing the gospel of grace. At that time, God gave me the complete righteousness of Christ. It was put on my account, and it was everything I needed to enter heaven. My life changed. I began reading and praying. I also gave up some evil activities, but none of these added to the righteousness given to me by faith alone in Christ alone. Many people don't know how to interpret the Bible. It's a book that can be rather complex. It covers 1,500 years. It covers two religions, Judaism and Christianity. Most people need help in understanding the Bible, and there are rules of interpretation. The Radio Bible Course wants people to understand how to interpret, and for that reason, we have tapes called Principles of Interpretation, a set of illuminating 6 tapes that demonstrate how the most controversial and difficult passages can be resolved by the law of context, by their historical setting, and by accurate biblical definitions of words. Many commonly quoted verses today are shown to be wrongly interpreted by failure to follow simple rules of interpretation. You can get information about this short course on cassette tape, Principles of Interpretation, by writing to the Radio Bible Course. The Radio Bible Course is an independent Bible teaching ministry supported by friends and listeners. We invite your comments and your letters. Until tomorrow, this is Nick Calavoda reminding you that the word gospel means good news.
Our address is Radio Bible Courses, Post Office Box 14916, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70898. The website is rbcword.org.